When you live in a place with long winters, like Wisconsin or much of the Northern Hemisphere, you tend to make use of the resources it brings, like ice. Whether you enjoy a walk across your local lake or ice fishing, that adds some value to your winter. Maybe you attend a local festival or race that's centered around ice. If the cover on our freshwater lakes disappeared, what would we lose? That's part of what our next guest was looking into as the lead author of a study examining the cultural effects that declining ice cover can have on communities. Leslie Knoll is a freshwater ecologist and the station biologist at the University of Minnesota's Itasca Biological Station and Laboratories. She's also an adjunct assistant professor in the Department of Plant and Microbial Biology. Leslie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the cultural side of ice loss and ice melt in Wisconsin and Minnesota and elsewhere in the world, can you talk about what we're losing in terms of how much ice we see on our lakes from year to year?
Yeah, so over about the past century, lakes have been experiencing early ice breakup, later ice formation, and shorter seasons of ice cover. And there's also been studies have shown decreases in ice thickness and also increases in the frequency of freeze-thaw events. So that's like when a lake freezes and then you lose that ice and then it freezes again. So we've been seeing that in the northern hemisphere, including in the Great Lakes region where we are now.
A lot of times we would think of that story as a weather and climate change story, maybe an ecology story. You focused on the human side of things, the cultural ecology. What made you want to tackle that particular issue?
Yeah, so I've been working on lakes and more on the ecology side, either as a student or professionally for over 20 years now. But I find that I'm always kind of drawn to the how people are involved, that side of things. And I moved to Minnesota. I'm up in northern Minnesota about 4 years ago, and my office overlooks Lake Itasca, which is a very popular recreation lake. We're in a state park and at the headwaters of the Mississippi River. So I'm seeing a lot of recreation occurring in the summer and also in the winter. For example, I'm looking out my window now and I see 5 ice houses on the lake and trucks out there. So that kind of seeing this every day got me really thinking more about how people are using the lake in the winter and what they stand to lose. As we know, ice cover is changing over time.
What kind of cultural events here in the upper Midwest, places like Wisconsin, Minnesota, are feeling the impact of this reduced amount of ice?
Some of what we looked at and some of what's very popular in the upper Midwest, ice fishing, of course. Ice fishing tournaments is one thing that our study looked at. Ice skating out on natural lakes or hockey are pretty common events as well. But even thinking about things like taking pictures of the frozen landscape, people post tons of pictures on Instagram or just take pictures for their enjoyment. So really all of those kind of uses of ice that don't necessarily provide a material benefit. Although ice fishing does give you fish, there's also like the social part of it, right? And the activity. So,
and that's day-to-day kind of stuff. You also looked, I understand, at winter-themed events that rely on that ice that sometimes get canceled.
Right, yeah. So, like I said, the ice fishing tournaments, but as well, even different, you know, I know there's a famous ice castle that's built in Wisconsin, and we've got different ice palaces or different festivals that occur on the ice every year. And so those things can get canceled or modified, delayed, need to go to a different location depending on the ice conditions for the year. And with these changes we're seeing in ice over time, we're going to have more and more of that as time goes on.
You and your colleagues in writing this paper also look at other services ice offers, including, and this is around the world sometimes and over history, ceremonial or religious benefits. That's something I hadn't thought of. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that is, I think, a pretty interesting example of ways people use ice. So one really long-standing tradition is in Japan, Lake Suwa, where there's been ice records since 1443 by Shinto priests who document the formation of an ice ridge. And so that ice ridge appearance is thought to be a message from God. So the ridge is formed by the footsteps of one god crossing the lake to visit another god. And so then that kind of starts a ceremonial process. And so they've been keeping these records since the 1400s just for their religious purposes, not, you know, for any scientific reason. But then some scientists were able to, from actually the University of Wisconsin-Madison, were able to take advantage of that to relate it to climate change. And then we explored it a little bit further in our study. But that's one example. And then there's, you know, numerous ones around the world. Russian Orthodox have Epiphany celebrations where they submerge themselves into icy lakes and rivers where they cut a hole. So there's different examples. There's a Catholic church on Lake Constance. Two Catholic churches actually have a procession where they have a statue that they march back and forth over the lake when it's frozen. So there are lots of different examples around the world.
And bringing things closer to home, you're able, based on where you are, if nothing else, to talk to people about how they feel the impact of not as much ice fishing or these event cancellations. What do people say? How do they talk about this decline of ice if they notice it?
A lot of times I hear more kind of thinking about the past and how they used to be out ice fishing in this area by Thanksgiving really reliably, and now that's not such a sure thing to have. So I hear that sometimes. But I don't often hear that kind of next step of going to climate change. So I think that's kind of interesting. But I think our study sheds light on kind of taking it to the next step and bringing in the records that we've got on ice cover that go back, you know, hundreds of years to show those changes and breakup and duration over time.
Leslie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. This was a nice conversation.
That was Leslie Knoll. She's a freshwater ecologist and the station biologist at the University of Minnesota's Itasca Biological Station and Laboratories. She's also an adjunct assistant professor in the Department of Plant and Microbial Biology. She's the lead author of a study examining the cultural effects of ice loss on communities in Wisconsin and around the world.